I'm Gab, he's Jules. Gray skies over West London. Jules, we have a full show. This is the Gab and Jules show, of course. We'll be talking about Milan and Napoli. We'll be talking about City, Holland, Arsenal, top of the league. How about that? But there's one place to start, and it starts on a bit of a sour note. In fact, a big sour note. Atletico Madrid against Real Madrid, the Madrid derby. 2-1 win for Real Madrid, which makes them perfect this season. Nine out of nine in all competitions. But we have to start talking about this whole, for me, is a crazy situation surrounding Vinicius. Pre-game, we've heard him. We heard fans outside again. It sounded like reportedly it was a few hundred. They certainly made a big racket. Atletico Madrid fans, you know, singing that Vinicius is a monkey. What I find really disheartening here is we're talking about a player who has been in La Liga for, what is it, 5 years now?
Yeah.
It's not so much, oh, it's 2022, these things still happen. Yeah, you certainly do. But fans or a portion of the fans, however many it was, who feel empowered to do this. Now, the backstory here, because I'm just going to knock this down, because they always come up with the same things. Oh, no, but we're not racist, because look, we boo Vinicius. We didn't do this to David Alaba. And they will always say that they do it because they say that this story comes from this ridiculous thing that after he scores a goal, he does a little dance, which, by the way, he hasn't scored as many goals before. But as far as I can tell, he's been doing this little dance for a while after
and
the goal.
A lot of players dance after they score a goal.
Yeah, it's pretty customary, right? The knock is that the dance is a provocation to the opposition.
That's right.
We had the head of the Spanish Agents Association come out and say that it was a provocation.
On television. Calling him a monkey. Like saying it's a monkey dance. Yeah.
Saying it was a monkey, which, you know, he kind of walked those back. But, I mean, I think the damage was done. People are going to say, we do this because to wind him up. We do this because he provokes us. And I don't think I'm being Captain Obvious here. Like, if you're wound up by him, if you want to insult him, there are some things which are acceptable to say. Other things are not acceptable to say because they are hurtful, not just to Vinicius, but to everybody of color and indeed people not of color as well who might experience it differently.
Yeah, completely. I mean, it was... Now you expect something to happen in the sense that Atletico have to be tough. If we really want to get rid of this sickness, this is the word that Carlo Ancelotti used in his post-match press conference on ESPN, his post-match interview on ESPN.
With Sid Lowe.
You can easily identify. I've seen video where you could see people, they had even a doll, like a black doll, that they're saying that was Vinicius. So you can easily know who those people are. So now you need to act.
Now inside the stadium, there was something else going on. Obviously, Vinicius not popular with the home fans. Also, because this whole thing had been built up leading into the game, the showboating and whatnot. But then, minute 82, this is just after he does a rainbow flick, you know, the little Neymar flick where the ball goes over his head, or rather, he attempts it against Axel Witsel. The ball gets cut out, and those of us in the stadium, or those who were in the stadium, heard this. Now, you heard it yourself there. I am kind of unsure of what I'm hearing, but I've had people assure me that the chant is mono, mono, which means monkey, monkey. Others, including people who were there, like our colleagues Sid Lowe and Alex Kirkland, they heard them saying tonto, tonto, which means stupid, stupid. Obviously, these two things are not the same thing. And I think what's critical here is that we ascertain to, as best we can, what was actually said. Now, the Spanish League has observers there. There's observers from the police. There's going to be video evidence. Clearly, if there was a portion of that crowd that was calling him a monkey inside the stadium, then that has to be dealt with. And there, of course, there's different ways they can deal with it, and we can debate that. But we felt, Jules, that we had to include it because there are a bunch of people who would have heard this, and they would have said, well, wait a minute, why are they not even talking about this? And the answer is there is some dispute about what we're actually hearing. About the game itself, right? Obviously, there's no Karim Benzema for Real Madrid. And I want to talk to you about the way Carlos set up for this game. Because, all right, you had the best midfield we kind of sort of imagined right now with Kroos, Modric, and Tchouaméni. Up front, funnily enough, he did not pick on his only he did not pick his only genuine center forward to replace Benzema, nor did he pick the 100 million euro man, nor did he pick Asensio, scored that great goal.
Yeah.
He picked Rodrigo. Now, when you pick Rodrigo to play center forward with Valverde and Vinicius, well, first of all, you go from having an old front line not that long ago to having a very young front line. But you're going to get a ton of movement.
Yeah.
And I kind of thought, if you go back to the first, to especially in that first half, like other than the goal, we didn't see much of Real Madrid necessarily in the box. But
no.
It always felt like they had control. They didn't necessarily create so many chances. But it always felt as if, despite not having that forward presence, despite not, you know, laying the siege on Oblak, which I think to some degree is maybe what Simeone expected. Remember, obviously, Simeone without Savic, without Jimenez, you know, having to rejigger things a little bit at the back. But it always felt like if they had one or two passes, somebody's running through on goal. You always have that continuous threat.
Yeah, it's always on an edge. You can easily see it. And many times it doesn't go through or it doesn't happen. But then the one time it happens, like on the Rodrigo goal, it's really hard to defend. I think Felipe makes a big mistake in the sense that he comes out a little bit too much and then maybe doesn't expect the ball from Tchouaméni to be so perfect, like literally inch perfect.
He twists himself into a pretzel.
And then he has to turn around. Yeah, exactly. And then it's too late already.
Right.
But you make a little mistake like this because no, it's not a big mistake. He's just maybe a couple of yards ahead of the defensive line from Atleti, but and this is it. And that's how they punish you. And we saw it last year, but there was that, always that bit element of, oh, it's a bit of luck because they were conceding a bit of chances in the Champions League, all of that. But in the league, they were very much like that. They punish you if you make a little mistake, but then they control so much where you put them under pressure. And when they're on top, they make the most of it. When you're on top, they don't give you too much. In the end, Atleti have a higher expected goals than Real Madrid, and I think rightly so. They try to play, they try to create. I think Griezmann had a decent, had a good game considering he hadn't started all season. This was his first
start. We'll get to Griezmann in a second.
90 minutes. But you can't really fault or blame Atletico for trying to play. It's just that this is what this Real Madrid side does. They're so good at punishing you if you have a little mistake or if you just let them play their game and one ball, like you said, through and this is it. You're 1-0 down or 2-0 down.
I think that's what's interesting about it is kind of the adjustment that they make because going from Benzema to Rodrigo center forward is a really big change. Now, Benzema obviously also has that movement, which, you know, I remember you said last year, you know, he's the best nine and he's the best 10.
Yeah.
But, you know, he has much more of a physical presence. And I think as a defender, you know that you have the risk that Benzema can go and physically overpower you.
Yeah, he's so good. Hold the ball up better than Rodrigo.
Hold the ball up. Yeah. Rodrigo's not going to do that. So that's what I find remarkable about this is how versatile this Real Madrid team is. Defensively as well. You know, we've praised Tchouaméni and we've praised the defense, but I think we need to tip their hat to them a little bit because Kroos and Modric off the ball aren't going to give you the running and the energy that you get just maybe because of their age. So that's a big ask of Tchouaméni.
Yeah.
So being able to do that, you know, essentially with positioning, with reading games, the front three press, obviously, but other than Valverde, I don't know how much of an impact. I mean, that's an area where I think they can definitely grow.
I just think, just quickly on Tchouaméni, I mean, that game against Almeria, the first game of the season where he was taken off at halftime, of course, him and Camavinga, where maybe Carlo should not have, maybe should not have started them in that game. Not that the opposition is just, it was just their league debut. I think it's quite overwhelming. But then when you see him now, which is what, 6 weeks later, or, you know, I don't know how many.
It's about right.
Yeah. In his first derby, you know, for him who's never really played, if you think about it, Bordeaux, Monaco don't really have those kind of, you know, if he'd been at PSG Marseille and played five of those kind of games.
No, the big Monaco Nice derby.
Well,
no.
Even the Monaco Marseille, it's not exactly the same. Or the Bordeaux Toulouse, or, you know, it's not really. And for him to put a performance like this, you were like, wow, all the progress that he's made. And I think he's already one of the best six in the world, considering this is not even, might not even be his best position, and certainly not a position that he had mastered before. This is all kind of new to him.
Well, and consider the fact how young he is, too.
Yeah, you're right.
This is what gets me is, I kind of feel we're seeing some very young players play with some mastery and the comfort level of more experienced ones. And Tchouaméni certainly, you know, fits that fits that description. A word on Valverde as well, because we saw that crazy run with who ended up shooting on goal, and I'm blanking now if whether it was against
Mallorca.
Mallorca last weekend. We saw a similar run this week. Obviously, he had the run in the Champions League final where he burst. But this idea of Valverde as a runner from deep, running at people, taking them on, beating them, this is kind of new. It was generally more of an energy guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Who wasn't necessarily vertical.
And not technical. I didn't think that technically he could do like a Neymar kind of Vinicius kind of run, really. And then suddenly he had that to his locker. That is something that you add to the team. So even on that right hand side, now you also have that threat. Not that he does it all the time, but maybe he's got too much energy. And at some point, Carlo said to him, okay, well, you want to run? Try to run with the ball then. But it's.
Speaking of running, the Vinicius on the second goal, where he accelerates away from it. I mean, that's video game stuff. I mean,
you just have to foul him 30 yards away from your goal. Otherwise, and I know you get yellow cards. And then after that, you have to change the way you defend against him. But otherwise, if Oblak doesn't touch it, like really thinly, I think he hits the post and goes in. He's so good, so dangerous, so lethal, so quick, so unpredictable. You know, it doesn't always work. And we've said it, there are defenders who defended really well on him. But yet, that half second where you lose your concentration or he does something that you don't expect and he's through on goal or something happens, it's crazy.
Atletico Madrid, of course, pulled one back with Hermoso. I mean, the ball basically bounces off him.
Yeah, Courtois, rare mistake.
Yes, Courtois coming out, missing it entirely. And then Hermoso picks up two yellows in quick succession. But what?
It's stupid.
Just a reminder, after the goal to make it 2-1, and I think there was, 5-6 minutes ago, maybe a little more, the camera pans to Simeone on the sidelines, and he does this thing that he always does. Like, he goes and he puts his two index fingers to the side of his head, saying, all right,
focus,
right? And you just know the message didn't get to him. Also, that was so needless, the second shove on Carvajal.
I mean, you could tell they were getting frustrated before their goal. I mean, there's a few, the Koke on Rodrigo, barging into him on the touchline, near the touchline, was bad. There's one from Witsel as well. So you could tell that there was that frustration in. And then when you score the goal, it's frustration, but it's also hope. Maybe we can get the second now. There's 5 minutes left to go. And then you take it too far and you do that thing and you let your team down, really. And I think there was the draw of Felix going straight into the dressing room after. I know he came back out.
I want to talk about his choices.
There's a few worries there. I think there's a few concerns.
So he starts Griezmann, which he knows that based on that, let's say, bizarro contract.
So you suspect that, you assume that there's an agreement now between Barca and Atletico Madrid, right? Otherwise, you keep playing him half an hour.
No, you don't know the terms of the agreement, right? So it's not, the terms aren't that he can only ever play half an hour.
No, but it's half a minute. So now what? He doesn't play at all the next game to balance it out?
It's entirely possible. Who knows? Okay. I don't know the ins and outs. We've only seen different versions of it. Barcelona are disputing the version Atletico has. It's with lawyers. I'm assuming Atletico have lawyers, they have nerds who count minutes to sit there and say, okay, my understanding is that, you know, Atletico at least believe that they can start him a certain number of games this year. And it's a question of keeping track of the minutes. Anyway, they started him. I thought Griezmann did okay.
Yeah, me too.
But I wasn't sure if a Griezmann-João Félix partnership at the expense of Morata was the right choice in this game.
I thought it was wrong, yeah. I agree with you.
I kind of thought a more physical presence, Morata, I think, has been their top scorer this season, Atleticos, or even Mateus Cunha, who of course came on later. They kind of give you that profile where you can tie up the central defenders, you're more likely to get something off a set piece. It's not just about kind of running on the counter. Once the game became a possession game, I thought, all right, you know, you got to yank João Félix out and do it sooner.
I also think that if you start them both, Griezmann and João Félix, Griezmann is 31 now. He's not going to make the runs in behind. He was never that was never particularly his game, but at least before he could do it.
Well, João Félix isn't going to do it even
so,
when he's
so they're both going to drop to get the ball at their feet to try to play between the line and to try to play away from Militao and Alaba. This is always what they're going to do. So what you get the same, basically the same profile. I know they're different players, but quite similar type of profile of what they're going to give you in that game. So yeah, you can have 50% of the ball and you can try to play and build stuff, but eventually you're right. There's not enough threat, even just physically in that box, or someone who's going to go to Militao and Alaba and actually cause them problems. I thought it was too easy for Real Madrid for too long in that game for what Atletico had to offer.
All right, let's go back to with the racism with Vinicius.
You know this, by the way, just before you go. If that president of the agent association, whatever,
right,
doesn't come on television on Thursday or Wednesday, whatever, or whenever it was, to say what he said, so and then we don't talk all week about it, and Vinicius doesn't have to do a video to talk about it, and all the Brazilian players or all the players around the world to support Vinicius in this controversy don't have to talk about it, we might not see what we saw yesterday, what we saw on Sunday night. We might not see, but it was so heavy all week before Derby.
It certainly added to it. Now, obviously, it's not as if, you know, he's been racially abused before and this has been an issue before. But to go and to use those words on television and to draw attention to
it. And to show
like
that he's popular.
And yeah, and everybody's just talking about it. Everybody, apparently, except for whoever handles Roberto Carlos's social media. Yeah. Now, I don't know if you saw this.
Yeah.
I look, I really like Roberto Carlos. I liked him as a player. I like him as a person. I'm going to assume it wasn't him, but he probably has some servant who handles his social media account, who apparently lives in a house. But talk about inappropriate. Roberto Carlos has signed up for, I don't know if it's some NFT or it's some project or whatever, some publicity stunt, where essentially players publish pictures. They change their social media profiles and put out pictures of monkeys in football kit, cartoon monkeys. He put it out, I think it was during the game or just before the game. Now, obviously, it's him. It's not Vinicius. Yeah, that was pretty tone deaf.
Yes.
I don't know if it's still up now. You really should take it down.
Yeah.
Especially, he's probably been the victim of racist abuse. And I'm sure he doesn't want to undermine. I don't think there's any malice in it.
No. Definitely.
But it just kind of should serve as a reminder as well. I don't get it. Do you get the appeal of buying an NFT with a monkey with a cigar, flying an airplane? I mean, I understand NFTs. I don't understand this crap. It's not art. It's nonsense.
No.
I think, especially within a football context, ideally we wouldn't be talking about it, but I think we need to be at least sensitive to that. Anyway, enough Roberto Carlos. What is appropriate punishment? What appropriate actions can we expect from Atletico Madrid, first and foremost, because they can act now. They know it happened.
Yeah. That video we saw with the doll, the black doll that was clearly Vinicius, the guy holding it. I think
it shouldn't be difficult to identify that.
Exactly.
Guy. Now,
and then it's behind closed doors. I'm sorry. The next home game is, we looked, I can't remember.
Girona, I think.
Yeah, Girona on October the 8th. Close the stadium. They play behind closed doors. The whole stadium is closed. I know you're penalizing some fans who didn't do anything, who are not racist, who didn't sing it. But I think this is where you have to make a statement. And La Liga and Javier Tebas, Atletico Madrid, the Spanish FA, Rubiales, whoever you want, this is their moment to act now. Because if you let that go, you know, and this is again towards Vinicius, it would be a random players. It would be the same. But now we're talking about the biggest, one of the two biggest games in Spanish football, and one of the best players in the world right now, one of the highest profile players in the world in Vinicius. This is where they have to act. Anything less, and this would be a failure.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit $1 million stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify is your no excuses business partner. Sell without needing to code or design. Just bring your best ideas and Shopify will help you open up shop. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com slash Gab Jules, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/GABJULS now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/GABJULES. All right, enough Madrid derby. How about some quick hits instead?
Let's go, Gav.
Arsenal stay top of the Premier League with a 3-0 away spanking of Brentford. What a difference a year makes. Jules, Fabio Vieira had to fill Martin Odegaard's, who was absent, his big boots.
Yeah, and he did really well. I mean, I thought he started timidly. I was at the game, which you expect. We saw him playing a little bit at the end of the United defeat, but this was his first start in the Premier League, and he got welcomed by a big, like, challenge from Ayer, or it was.
He looks Jensen. A little wussy, like he's relative skinny. To the he's last really guy named Vieira. Relative to the last guy named Vieira to play for Arsenal, like.
But after that, he grew into the game, and Arsenal were so good, you know, Brentford could not get near them. And if you take away Brentford's physicality and that kind of intensity, then they're lost, and they look lost. Arsenal won all the second balls, pretty much every 50-50. They were really outstanding, and Vieira scored a lovely goal, by the way, after I think 18 or 19 passes.
That I think is what impressed me most, because Brentford don't often get out-energized or out-physicaled by the opposition. And certainly you don't expect that from a team like Arsenal. Mm. But that's what happened.
Yeah. And 15-year-old Ethan Nwaneri came on with a minute to go for Arsenal. Gab, they're getting younger and younger. He's 15 and 181 days.
Yeah. Wow. I'm very much in two minds about this.
Yeah, I can...
I don't see the purpose of sending somebody. Look, I know
he's been really good at training. And
it's not a question of
fault. It's a reward, kind of, in a way.
Yeah, I don't know about the logic of doing that. Some people say, well, it shows that if you're, you know, good enough, you can play. I'm genuinely in two minds about this from a safeguarding standpoint. I don't think it's a good precedent to set. Arteta said it was his gut feel. I don't know. I'm. You know, this kid doesn't even, he's still a schoolboy. He doesn't even have the...
Yeah. I mean, it's not school today, but tomorrow you go back to school.
But no, look, it's he's been training with the under-18s all season, apparently. Mm. And I'm sure
and a few times
they knew what they're doing. In some places, they have a blanket ban. So some people might argue that maybe that's what he should do. Maybe there's no reason for him to play a minute at the end of this game. On the flip side, Johan Cruyff made his debut at 14 and it worked out pretty well for him. Yeah. So...
But you know, he could not. He was not allowed to get changed in the Arsenal dressing room because he's obviously under 16. So he had his own dressing room for himself to get changed in, because you know he's like underage kind of thing.
It's now four league games without a win for Bayern, who slipped down to fourth, Jules. They lost the derby to Augsburg 1-0. Shout out to our friend Michael Strohl.
Of course.
Can we call it a crisis now?
Yeah, big time. And then on Sunday, they had to go to Oktoberfest, and you just had to look at Oliver Kahn's face and Julian Nagelsmann, who even said publicly, I don't want to go, but he had to go because it's the tradition. I mean, we've said before, the draw against Gladbach.
Oktoberfest in September? I always do this. I don't know. Whatever.
We said some of the draws, the three draws before that defeat, were maybe not too worrying because they created so many chances and they just didn't take them. Or they faced a goalkeeper that was... Yeah. You know,
the first Stuttgart wasn't great.
Yeah, Stuttgart wasn't great. This was not great either. No, you know, apart from Manuel Neuer header at the end, that was their best chance in the 95th minute or whatever. And that's Manuel Neuer coming for a corner to try to salvage a point. This was very poor in the intensity, in the way they play, what they did with the ball. And fair play to Augsburg.
And I think some of this is on Nagelsmann too, because if you play Upamecano and De Ligt together... You can't, with attacking fullbacks like Mazraoui and Davies, then you need to have a midfield that shields them, that helps them a little bit. Instead, I thought too often they were exposed. Now, Augsburg, Augsburg sat, I think they had like 20% possession, but when they broke, they just cut right through them.
They would have scored more goals than Juventus scored.
And at the other end, by Sadio Mane, not looking as sharp as he should right now.
Cholito Simeone has a much better day than his dad as Napoli win away to Milan, and he scores the winner. Gab, this was quite a game.
It's just huge, obviously, Milan without Rafael Leao, Napoli without Victor Osimhen. You can say those two cancel each other out.
Yeah.
I thought Milan actually played really well in the first half. Yeah, they created many more chances. But then in the second game, in second half, this game just came tremendous.
It was amazing.
like, he's going to be killed. He made the change. Apparently, Davide Calabria was injured. He sends on Serginho Dest. Yeah. What happens? Sorry, USMNT guys. Serginho Dest gives away
it's
the penalty.
A clumsy foul. And
by the way, that is a total VAR one, because the first three replays, it looks like he gets the ball clean.
Yeah, yeah.
Then you see the VAR one. You see, well the done, VAR.
Yeah,
Irati in this case. I think Milan could have gotten back into it. But and they did, obviously. They got the equalizer, if your boy again.
Gio was then, so good.
But then a tremendous header from Cholito Simeone. Great pass from Mario Rui.
Yeah.
Lobotka was phenomenal in the middle of the park. I let Napoli just keep firing. And I thought,
if you can win those games when you're not playing well, when you're outplayed in the first half, certainly by the opposition, go away and still win.
Yeah. And by the way, for Milan, I know, let's pump the brakes. It's not a crisis or a defensive thing. I thought they played really well.
They keep
this level.
They hit the crossbar twice as well. You know.
No, I think both these teams are going to be just fine. Manchester City flatten Wolves 3-0 and stay a single point behind Arsenal. Jules, some Grealish love, perhaps.
Yes, he deserves it. Not just for the goal, the very, very quick early goal that he scored, but I think for his all-around game, he was back to his best or near his best, what he did with the ball, the movement, collectively even how he fitted in that team, because I think it took him a little bit of time to get used to the whole thing. I don't know if... I still see
it's
him
been
as,
a year.
As inconsistent in a way. But so now I want to see the consistency. I want him to be able to play like this the whole time. And I just hope that Pep gives him the time and starts him the next game and don't keep putting him on the bench. Start.
Because I think I disagree with you a little bit. I don't think he's ever going to live up to his £100 million price tag. But
how do you know?
But I think it has, because he's 27. Or
it doesn't matter.
I think it will be bench start for Grealish. But I think that's fine, because your other wingers, Foden, Mahrez, Julian Alvarez, are also really good. And I think he's different from them, and he gives you something different. And I think, you know, he's a useful guy to have. There's no shame in that.
No, there's no shame. But you want surely to have him as best as he can. And for that, I don't think the bench start helps him. That's all. Meanwhile, Gab, Erling Haaland made it 100 goals in his last 99 games in all competitions since he left Salzburg in December 2019. But what was unusual about his strike against Wolves?
So it came from outside the box. And I crunched some numbers on this. I went to StatsBomb and looked at the shot position. He think he took something like, excluding penalties, 27 shots this season in the Premier League. Only three from outside the box. The vast majority of his shots and his goals come from basically right in front of the
goal. One touch finish.
It's pretty remarkable. And he also has a ton of touches in the box, actually. People say he doesn't touch the ball very much and does a lot of work moving around. But what I loved about this shot, this wasn't him belting it. This was him essentially passing it.
And he was not very good either. He bobbled a few times. I'm not sure the contact is exactly where. I mean, it's his wrong foot. I mean, if he has a wrong foot.
I don't think he has a wrong foot.
I think
he stroked it properly.
But
Neymar and Messi combined early for Paris Saint-Germain to beat Lyon 1-0. Jules, what did you learn? Did you like the back three?
I like the back three. I don't think he should be only the back three, especially when you lost Kimpembe injured. I think a back four could be a good idea for that team as well, especially now you see how good Fabian Ruiz was in that game, and you can easily play Ruiz, Verratti and Vitinha together. But I thought that was a very good performance from PSG. They conceded a few chances or half chances from Lyon, but they could easily have scored 4 or 5. I think Anthony Lopez got 9 out of 10 in his L'Equipe rating because he was that good. So well done to Galtier, because it was a tricky game on paper, and they made it easier, and Messi was amazing and so was Neymar. But to worse for Juve, Gab, they managed to lose away to Monza, who win their first ever game in Serie A. They just had a draw against Lecce before that in 6 games, and now they beat Juve.
Do you want to blame Allegri, even though
please.
He wasn't on the bench?
Yes,
although
please.
He was there in the stadium looking like some ghostly figure. He was suspended, obviously.
Yeah.
This was really bad. It was a bad performance. It was precipitated. By the way, Angel Di Maria, I have nothing personal against Angel Di Maria. It just bugs the crap out of me that when he signs as a free agent from Paris Saint-Germain, you know, all of a sudden, all these people drink the Kool-Aid, and they're like, oh, here comes Di Maria, so much quality. Look, he's a Galactico. He's this, he's that. He's going to change the leadership. This is a guy who I think rarely started more than 24, 25 games a season for Paris Saint-Germain in his last couple of years. And by the way, senior veteran leadership, 40 minutes in, he goes, he wins the foul, and then afterwards, he elbows the other guy in the stomach, Itzo.
Yeah.
What, like, this is the leadership you show me?
Crazy.
Now, I'm not going to blame Di Maria.
They were bad before when they were 11.
Before 11v11. You're playing Monza. They tried to play it out from the back. They're really bad at doing it. I know they changed their manager. By the way, Raffaele Palladino coming in. You don't press them at all. Poor Vlahovic is up there by himself. Nobody anywhere near him. It's a horrible situation. Yeah. Gatti at the back. I genuinely hope Juve fans, please do not slaughter your young players when they have bad performances. Definitely. It's not just him. To me, the ultimate thing is Juve had a counterattack late in the game. Do you know who was in the counterattack? Two of the three. One was Bremer. The other one was, I think, Danilo, another defender. Something's wrong here.
Yeah.
Where is everybody else?
So
Allegri needs to sort it out.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
It's not just producer Freddie harassing us anymore. No. Union Berlin leave us no choice, Jules. They are top of the Bundesliga with a 2-point lead after beating Wolfsburg 2-0 at the Alte Försterei.
Yeah, and if you haven't seen the goals or the game even, the Becker goal was fun. I mean, his first touch is amazing. And the finish, they were very average, I thought, against Braga in midweek in Europe. And they lost that game. Funnily enough, they lost the two European games against Union Saint-Gilloise and Braga, but in the Bundesliga, they're just unplayable. I mean, Wolfsburg are not very good. I know that.
And if they get knocked out,
Kukovic is,
and they can just focus on the Bundesliga.
Leicester, there's Leicester vibes. We said that before, Freddie's happy.
Mine is, of course, the king loving Thai billionaire.
Okay. And Claudio on the bench, but still, you know. Another slipper for Inter, Gab. Their third straight away from home, but I guess they lost to Udinese, who are 1 point off the top of the table, one of the surprise package of the season. So maybe that's not too surprising.
No, but it should be surprising because they took the lead in this game. Obviously, still no
lovely free kick by Barella.
Tremendous free kick from Barella, who, by the way, has been playing really well since being benched. But then, this is what gets me. Simone Inzaghi has his fixations. One of them is, I better substitute the players who have yellow cards because they may get Half an hour in, he takes off Bastoni and Mkhitaryan because they've both picked up yellows in the first half hour.
But what's wrong with him?
Mkhitaryan's an attacking midfielder. He has to be an absolute dolt to get a second yellow. I actually checked throughout their career between them. They've had like 20 top flight seasons. They've only been sent off one time each for a second yellow. So why are you doing this?
It's
why?
Crazy,
you destabilize the team. There's a lack of creativity. Other big problems, set pieces, of course.
Yeah.
On the first one, Skriniar has kind of the coordination of, I don't know what, that camera over there, and the ball bounces off him into the net. Second, the other one, also set piece. They get beat. It's just details. You've got to work on these things. And this midfield, not working.
Yeah.
Not working.
Yeah.
Barcelona beat up Elche 3-0 to stay second behind Real Madrid. Jules, you and I were wondering about their defending, and let's say it, Eric Garcia. But were we wrong? Because they conceded one Liga goal all season long.
Okay, so they will beat the four opponents. By the way, Eric Garcia didn't start against Bayern in the Champions League.
We're not talking about Bayern, we're in La Liga.
Yeah, I know, but for a reason. Otherwise, if he was that amazing, if he was the new Beckenbauer, I think Xavi would play him in the toughest game of the season so far. They didn't. I'm still not his biggest fan, but I thought Elche were terrible, by the way. But you're right. Defensively, they've been sound and solid. I think they would be tougher opposition.
You know what I really liked in this game? Memphis Depay getting a second consecutive start.
That's
not at center forward. Yeah, I know you're going to love it. You'll love the skill. Go check it out on YouTube. It's special. But the fact that he started his left wing, but he left the whole flank to Balde. He came inside. It was almost like a front two.
That must have been the plan. Surely.
No, but this is great. It gives you another dimension.
Yeah, completely. And
Balde, it's a way to get the best out of the pie.
Balde is growing. He's growing in that team. Youssoufa Moukoko comes on and scores the winner for Borussia Dortmund in the big derby against Schalke. Gab, can we say that Edin Terzic has turned the corner now?
Yeah, look, it's doom and gloom with all the injuries and some of the really bad performances, but I think they only lost one game all year. They're just behind Union Berlin in the Bundesliga. Moukoko came on, and if he can contribute this season, obviously he can be better than Modest. But the big news for me is Schalke did nothing in this game. They had a million chances to score. Yeah. Dortmund did. Look beyond the score. Between this and the performance at City, convincing. I think they're growing. Let's your love for Ong Ming Son. He hadn't scored all season. He gets dropped to the bench. He comes on with half an hour to go, and Spurs hanging on to a 3-2 lead over Leicester City, and he scores a hat-trick. Coincidence or brilliant psychological ploy from Antonio Conte?
Well, I think Conte got what he wanted. A reaction. Three goals in 13 minutes are pretty impressive. And now Son has started his season. Well done. How about some love for the other league leader in Serie A? A great goal from Giorgio Scalvini, the young talent at Atalanta, powers them to a 1-0 win over Roma, who has Jose Mourinho sent off.
Yeah, so first of all, a word on Scalvini. He's a centre-back with 18. Number 10-type skills. I can bring it to Frank. For young Frank Leboeuf. Okay, on to Roma. Roma should have won this game. They created so many chances. They didn't finish them. Mourinho, though, what are you doing? Normally, he's deputized his assistants to go and shout at the referee and get himself sent off. This time, he did it himself. But he did it in a situation where it was completely wrong. The incident between Zaniolo and Okoli, when you see the replay, VAR is completely justified. Yeah. Zaniolo fouls him first. Also, they're pulling each other's shirts.
Yeah.
There was an argument, by the way, with Zaniolo earlier when they should have had a penalty, not the one that infuriated Mourinho, where Zaniolo made the mistake of trying to stay on his feet.
Yeah.
I expect more. VAR got that one wrong. But come on now. It was the Matteo Guendouzi show for Marseille, who are held to a 1-1 home draw by Rennes and slipped to second.
Yeah, he did everything. He scored for his team. He also scored for the other team, which was...
But he didn't get sent off, which I thought was kind of disappointing.
Yeah, it did. He will be back with the national team, which he's really happy with. And I think this was a game that it's quite level between the two teams. A draw, I think, is fair. And he redeemed himself with scoring his team's goal after scoring the own goal. So well done to him. Christophe Freund is reportedly on his way to Chelsea to take over as director of football. Gab, are you impressed? Are you happy?
Well, Jules, I think we've said, both of us, this should be an absolute priority for the club. Yeah. It should have been the first person appointed. I'm not going to have a go at him at the club for not appointing the director of football straight away, because the reality is they wanted Michael Edwards. Apparently, I'm told they talked to him for a long, long time, and then eventually, you know, it didn't work out. Obviously, that was your first choice. That's fine. This is second choice, Christoph, or third choice, or whoever he was. It fits the profile of what they're talking about, because they love Leipzig. They love multi-club ownership. I think Leipzig are one of the very few clubs that have actually made it work. Obviously, he was at Salzburg, right?
So yeah.
He's still part of the Red Bull organization. He kind of was really just a scout until, I think, 2016, when then he kind of became a sporting director as well and started dealing with agents. The one thing, I think there's still going to be a learning curve there, because let's face it, when you're at Salzburg, first of all, you've got Mitzlaff above you, who's kind of like plays daddy and does a lot of the hard negotiations. Secondly, you're dealing with a different profile of agent and player, right? You're accumulating essentially a whole bunch of young players. You go in, you nurture them, you spot them, you sign them, you throw big money for young players.
So they don't choose him for that. You think, because for me, it looks like they want to do, and already we've seen the young players that they signed, Casadei, Chukwuemeka, and then they go and get sports director that he's very, very good, maybe the best in Europe, at doing that again as well. So is it because they want to go down that route of getting the best young players in Europe, giving them a platform, forming them, and then selling them on? Surely not Chelsea.
Well, no. I think, look, I mean, he bought the best young, talented players because that's what they could afford at Salzburg.
Yeah, but that's what he's very good at.
But it doesn't mean he can't be good higher up.
No, for sure.
I think he's still relatively young. He's a disciple of Ralf Rangnick, which to some people might be a bad word, but I still think... In terms of organization and setting up a team, is definitely a good thing.
Yeah.
I think what's going to be critical here is, again, the pieces that they put around him, how quickly adapts a negotiation. You know, dealing with veteran players and veteran agents is completely different. But he can learn it if he's a smart guy.
Yeah,
you know, you have to start somewhere. The good news is that it's in place. Again, you want to go back, and I don't know if they have to pay compensation or whatever. He just extended his contract with Leipzig in July. So it's another one of those situations. Well, but again, I don't think it's fair to have a go at them. They wanted Michael Edwards. They thought Michael Edwards was the best around, which maybe
which
is
among
the unemployed ones. They went for that first, and then that didn't work out. And now they go for Christoph Freund. Good luck to him. Leipzig lose away to Borussia Mönchengladbach 3-0. Marco Rose beats one of his former Borussias, yeah. but not the other one, Jules.
No, you're right. And I think the season, the up and down season continues. It's crazy how I don't think they were bad in that game. They just conceded an early goal to start with. And there's a counter-attacking goal to Ram for Hoffman again. And then Hoffman. after that, you're 2-0 down and it's already a struggle. And yeah, you have a lot of the ball, but they defend well. It's just one of those games, but it's crazy how you can go and, you know, and win 3-0 against Dortmund and then you lose that game. Then you play well against Real Madrid. You lose that game. It's just that we need some consistency. But Marco Rose, he's not a consistent manager.
No, but he's also just been there.
Yeah,
I'll be to see what he does, how he uses this break, especially I would expect him to hole up with a bunch of video and really assess what he has and how he wants these pieces to fit together, especially defensively.
Brighton have a new manager, Gab, and it's your boy, Roberto De Zerbi. Well, I mean, we are hype. You and I are really happy.
I love it.
Great.
When younger managers without the pedigree originally, you know, they have the courage. He was at Sassuolo. They have the courage to go abroad. He went to Shakhtar Donetsk, had some ups and downs there. Yeah. Probably the fact that, you know, obviously ended up leaving when the invasion happened. Brighton, I mean, they waxed lyrical. They said, oh, we followed him for so long. He fits our passion. He is, you know, his football is the original version of his football. What he tried to do at Sassuolo was that 4-3-3 play out from the back, you know, very much sort of early Pep trying to ape that.
Yeah.
Some of his critics say, oh, look, why are you trying to play like Pep played 20 years ago? You know, but it's what he believes in. And I think he's a good fit for a ball playing club where people are used to getting a lot of coaching.
Yeah.
There's going to be an adjustment period. Of course there is.
Yeah.
Sevilla grab a draw away to Villarreal. Jules, it's 3 games undefeated now for your namesake, Julian Lopetegui. Does this mean we'll see him again after the international break?
Yeah, I think we will, Gab. Not that. Listen, this is a good point away from home against it.
It's a really good point.
But it wasn't great. It wasn't great. It wasn't great either again. But he will be there. I know they probably have lined up Marcelino or someone like that. I'm not sure how much of an improvement that would be. But the last 3 results, as you said, I think have bought him a bit of time. And we want that. We don't want him to be sacked. It's just they've been terrible so far this season, let's be honest.
I mean, still having like 4 points or something.
It's crazy. Betis beat Girona 2-1 as Borja Iglesias scores twice. Gab, they're just 3 points behind Real Madrid. Are we sleeping on them a little bit?
I think so. By the way, there's been no Nabil Fekir for the last couple of games.
And they were good in Europe as well.
You know, I want to say he's their most talented player. I feel Sergio Canales might have something to say about that. But look, Borja Iglesias, everything he's touching right now turns to gold. They're really, really good,
so good
attacking team. You know, defensively, they can hold their own. They're only 2 points behind Barcelona. People say, like, oh, look, a two-way race, Barcelona, Real Madrid, business as usual, nobody else. No, they're grinding out a lot of points very, very quickly. So who knows? I'm not going to go ahead and say it's going to be a two-way race just now. Not yet.
No.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
More developments in the Kira Marawi case. Aminata Diallo has now been charged.
Yeah, incredible. New chapter, Gabin, is incredible story. I know French football has had, you know, many of those between the sex tape and the Pogbas and anything you want. The French Federation as well now is in trouble. But this one, because the investigation from the police has revealed now that Aminata Diallo was the one behind the attack of her own teammate, Kira Amraoui.
So this is actually what she's been charged with.
She's been charged with aggravated violence.
With organizing the assault.
Well, yeah, that's one of the counts that she's got against them.
One of the charges.
Against her, yeah. The four guys were also arrested. 3 of them saying that she was the one who instigated the attack for a place in the team. basically. And she told those...
So nothing to do with our friend in Barcelona?
No, nothing to do with that, or nothing to do with...
As far as we know,
Kiva Amraoui, you know, could be done in her private life. But certainly to try to get her out of the team, not being able to play football anymore, that was... That's what Diallo asked the thugs that came and hit Amraoui with iron bars.
So there's obviously the charge. Now, obviously, she's going to present her defense.
Exactly.
I think that there could well be more twists and turns.
So she hasn't denied the involvement, but she just asked to stay silent. So we haven't heard her version of the story of the cops either.
It's pretty remarkable.
It's incredible.
I remember at the beginning when she was first held and that this sort of theory first came out, there were... Some people, maybe you should have known, but we were suggesting, oh, look, they're picking on Diallo because he's of African descent, which, by the way, Amraoui, I'm pretty sure, isn't Swedish, but I think he's also of African descent.
Yeah.
But it seems that now this is what she's been charged with. By the way, I don't blame her for not talking. I people often...
No, but she could have said, okay, you got me now. It's my fault.
People often forget that there is this thing called due process. You have your right to defend yourself. And this whole thing with, you know, not saying something that might incriminate you or whatever.
No, that's true. But the four guys...
defend yourself in court, right?
Okay.
So I got no problem.
But the four guys who were arrested said, it's us. You know, we did it. You got us now. They've got they taped all their phone. They've got everything against them. So they, you know, she chose a different way of defending herself. Yeah. But Edinson Cavani makes his debut for Valencia in the 3-0 win over Celta. Gab, how did he look? And does he move the needle for Gattuso's team?
He played what, 70-odd minutes? He started?
He had never played so far. Let's remind everybody this season.
Yeah. I was surprised that Rino Gattuso chucked him in there like that, especially with the international break coming up. But I guess he must have looked really fit. And it's a win for Valencia. I mean, they're still there in mid-table. He gives you a veteran option that I think in certain games can make a difference. I do not expect him to be a week-in, week-out starter, but especially with the World Cup. But, you know, who knows? Maybe he'll surprise us. Jules, I think it's time to check in on your buddy and mine, Peter Bosz, after the home defeat to Paris Saint-Germain.
Yeah, third defeat in a row. And we asked him, what are you going to do in the international break? He said, I'm going to drink a lot of alcohol.
Yeah.
Not sure that's the answer, Peter, that we're looking for here. You know, too much alcohol won't help you. And you might be out of a job very soon anyway, because three defeats in a row. Not that they played badly against PSG.
They're fifth or sixth in the table, right? They're not that far down.
Yeah, they're fifth, I think. They're not that far, but three defeats in a row. It's just that you don't see really where they're going. He says there's an improvement. Not too convinced by that.
Hasn't been an improvement since he's been there, because fundamentally he's not good.
Exactly. That's why it could cost him his place. Basically, they said to him, by beginning of November and when the players go to the World Cup, we have to be in the top three. So we'll see. I don't think they will sack him before that.
They have to be in the top three.
In Ligue 1 top three by the weekend of the 12th of November.
So basically they have to be ahead of either Marseille or Monaco.
So, yeah.
I mean, not so much in terms of always points at the table, but in terms of financial clout, talent, and so on.
No. They have to be
Marseille and Monaco
first, second,
are the
or
other two most talented
teams.
Well,
whoever is in that
right?
top three, they have to be ahead of them. So we'll see. Neil Mopé's goal gives Everton a 1-0 win over West Ham, Gab. After the big spending summer, David Moyes and the mighty Irons are free-falling now.
Yeah, Tom Petty style.
You know what I think about him and his inability to make that team and those players play well, play good football.
I think he's played six different formations this year. I think, you know, they got the packet laid on, which, makes them change everything.
Yeah.
I think he's not sure how the pieces fit together up
front.
That's
his job, though, no?
You've got Scamacca, Antonio, Bowen, Benrahma, the packet.
Yeah.
You would think you could come up with three dudes who could make it work together, four dudes if you want to go 4-2-3-1. You've got the really good midfield. Your defense, people are coming back from injury, should be better too. This is a much better team than their results. We agree with
that. Yeah. I'm just not sure he's the right guy for this team and for this job right now. But I might be wrong. I'm just saying the football that he played in the last three seasons that was very successful, he's not adapted to these players now. He needs to evolve. I'm not sure he can, but I want him to try at least.
I want him to do well because I genuinely like the guy. But
their first half against Everton was so dire. I mean, the whole game was dire anyway. But I'm just not sure that he's even trying to make them play good football.
He's caught between the conservative and the just do just enough. But Are you happy for Frank Lampard Jr. at least?
Yeah.
Big 3 points for Everton.
Yeah, massive
right?
3 points, right. Yeah.
Jules, you love your Tekkers. How about Radamel Falcao coming on late in the game, scoring his first goal of the season for Rayo? Now, they still lost against Bilbao, but how about that goal?
Oh, my word.
Was that better than Depay?
Yeah, it's harder, I think. Because the Depay move, you can see it. You can practice it at training a lot. You know, the ball has to come to your feet and you'll turn the way you turn.
But you need a defender who's just going to fall over backwards.
I know, but still. You know,
it looked like something. Remember the And One mixtape tour? Like, hot sauce and AO. That's what it looked like. The guy just kind of falls over.
Whereas for the Falcao one, you know, it's just the way he twists his body and the touch on the ball.
And it was
just
a clean touch, too.
Incredible. Incredible goal. So he's not going to score many like that anymore, and he's getting older and he can't start every game. But that was something else. The England team are expected to make a declaration on human rights in Qatar this week. Gab, what do you expect them to say?
I expect them to come up with something about how they're going to be good hosts, but there's concerns over working conditions and human rights and blah, blah, blah to some degree. I think every national team is wrestling with it. And you know why they're all wrestling with this? Because we in the media are stupid, fundamentally. Mm-hmm. We say, you guys need to speak up, you need to do something, right? Qatar was assigned the World Cup, 12 years ago?
Yeah.
Right? There is a serious, broad conversation to be had about human rights in the area and what people in other parts of the world, how they feel about them. And if they want them to change, there is pressures that can be done. We can say, we're only going to trade with you if you have certain basic conditions. Yeah. We're going to make certain demands. We're not going to import your products unless they meet a certain standard. And we're going to have people checking. They do this with some countries. But guess what? They don't do it with Qatar to that same degree. And they don't do it, by the way, it's not just Qatar. It's Dubai. It's all of the United Arab Emirates, Saudi Arabia, but it's not even get started there. Kuwait. Like, you can't... What I really, really struggle with is this happened a long time ago. These are decisions the politicians need to make, right? Mm. And then all of a sudden we discovered like, oh, look, there's a World Cup happening in Qatar. Like, go and say something. Go and do something, right? What do you want them to do? Like, seriously.
No,
they can keep shining a light on it. Okay, so now we know. Conditions in Qatar are substandard. I think most observers say there have been improvements, but will the improvements last?
Yeah.
Are they still up to snuff? Let's investigate more. But to dump all of this on the FA when people should have really been asking questions about their governments, that doesn't ring well. And I feel for Gareth Southgate and whoever's going to help him write his statement this week. Jean-Claire Todibo, once of Barcelona, is sent off after just 9 seconds for Nice in their game against Angers.
9 seconds.
Jules, a bit harsh.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I went to get a cup of tea. I didn't even have that time to go and get a cup of tea. Come back, they were down to 10. I was like, what? It was really harsh because I don't think he was the last man. I mean, he was the last man, but not really the last man. I think.
No, let's be clear. It wasn't violent. He just goes and trips the guy. It was well outside the box. I don't understand.
And that killed the game. Nice ended up losing. I mean, Angers also had a red card, by the way, in that game after an hour. Bouffal. But there's this obsession with red cards in France. We've had 34 already this season, which is mental. But yeah, I fell for him and for Nice and Favre to a certain extent. The ECA, the European Club Association, and UEFA Executive Committee are both meeting this week, Gab. And the big rumor is that they will debate playing Champions League games outside of Europe. Good idea. Oh, that final in New York.
One that we're talking. Look, there's always going to be people trying to make a buck, trying to increase it. This obviously comes from the clubs. The clubs now have a lot more clout than they did before with the new agreement with UEFA. I think the only types of games will be played outside Europe, if we get there in the Champions League, hypothetically might be a final one day. Or there is talk about this, you've heard this, replacing the Super Cup with a four-team tournament. You know, maybe you get the Europa League. Maybe you get the Europa League winner, the Conference League winner.
Champions League winner.
Champions League finalists, for example. Exactly. Something like that. And then you play like a Final Four format, obviously in either North America or Asia, preseason. That's, I think, is going to be on the table. But paying semifinals, group stage games, they don't want to give up the home gates for that. People don't want to travel.
Exactly.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Not halfway through the season.
Right, Jules? that brings us to an end.
Wow.
But what do you say? Shall we come back on Thursday and do this all over again?
Yes.
Why? Because there's so much going on. Actually, no, there isn't. Between now and Thursday, I checked. There's very little going on. But who knows? Some managers might be getting the sack. Some technical directors might be getting appointment. So until then, love the game. Love your neighbor. Love yourself.